Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
Cool, we're going to talk about faith. Last week, I don't know if any of you here on the Sunday night.
Yeah.
I'm going to take these off. And I can't quite see you, which actually is quite encouraging for me. Anyway, moving on. Yes, thank you. Last Sunday night, there was quite a few challenges thrown up on the Sunday night service. Brian Blacklock was speaking. He's a good man.
Yes.
He was fun. And he brought a scripture, which is actually in Isaiah 60 at the end of it. And it talks about the least becoming a thousand and the small becoming a mighty nation. And out of this scripture that he brought, he was saying, do you have enough faith to be the least? And so on my week, this week, God and I have been chatting about it. Been having some discussions over the last 7 days about whether I have enough faith to be the least and what that means. And so I thought I would share those discussions with you guys. I can only talk out of my experience, okay, that I've been having with God, that I've been encountering on my daily life, because that's what he's sharing with me. So I pray you take whatever you want or whatever you need or whatever you can from this, that this is what's been going on with me, okay? And this is my experience. So, do we have enough faith to be the least, is my question. And I want to, I was really encouraged this week throughout my week and my discussions with God. But I was really encouraged with a friend of mine that I talked to. And they were a bit like, Jem, I'm not really sure, but I trust God and I have faith in him. I was like, That's my life every day. I just trust him and have faith in him. I was just really encouraged that someone would say, not really have a clue, not sure. Some days I'm not sure. Some days I'm like, God, I see this amazing provision happening in someone else's life. Don't always say it in mine. Am I sure about you being my provider? What is going on? Some days you're like, And you make that noise and you're like, I'm not sure. But I trust. And I just have faith in him. Yeah? And so this really encouraged me that actually that is my journey most days. But to faith, Matthew 7, let's all go to Matthew 17, please. Verse 20. It's a good one. Who can tell me what it says? Come on, young adults. This will be our next week's scripture memory. It says, shall we go for it? Is everyone there? Yeah, it does say that. It's a good one. It says, am I in the right one? Yes, I am. And I think I want to read it from the NIV. But in the truth, it says, because your faith is so weak, Jesus answered, most empathetically, I tell you this truth. If you had true faith that was even the size of a minute mustard seed, you would be able to see this mountain move from here to there, and it would move. If you had true faith, this was my discussion with Jesus all week, true faith, come back. In Mark 11, it says the same thing, but slightly differently. And it says, have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. True faith. That's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to see what true faith is. But before we do that, yeah, we're going to have a moment of video-ness, please.
I'm sorry. I believe sucking smoke into your lungs will kill you.
My physicians say it relaxes the throat.
They're idiots.
They've all been knighted.
Makes it official, then. My castle, my rules.
This really made me laugh, this clip. He was like, they're idiots. And he was like, but they've all been knighted. And Lionel was like, it's official then. You know, he was talking, I don't know if you've seen the king's speech, but he has a stammer, the king. And so, yeah, that was his speech therapist trying to work through it. But Jesus was saying to me, you know, Jem, you gave your life to me. You said, yes, I believe. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You know, I believe that you died and rose again for me. He said, does that make it official? Does that give you true faith? Stunned silence. And I was like, here we go. Pants, you know. Felt like Jesus was just kicking me up the butt a little bit. But does it make it official? You saying, okay, God, I believe in you. I've done my bit. Now I'm just going to kick back, see what goes on in life. No. Oh, no. No, no. Far from it. You know, true faith is not a nice little package that's delivered on your doorstep the next morning when you wake up after you've given your life to Jesus. Yeah? In Ephesians 1, he says that he gives us the deposit of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:18 or something. And, you know, that's great. The Holy Spirit enables us to have faith. He enables us to have true faith. He enables us to trust, to learn about God. He enables us to step out. He enables us to do all these things. True faith, if you like, is a byproduct of what's inside of us, yeah? That's kind of the result. That's something that the Holy Spirit is enabling us to do. Yeah? So what is true faith? In Matthew 17, it says that it's something where you do not doubt. No doubting. In Mark's version, it says that you are believing. If you continue to read, it says, if you believe what you've asked for is already yours, you shall have it. So true faith is not doubting, and it is believing that what you've already asked for is yours. Yeah? In John 8, it talks about being true disciples. And he says, if you continue to believe in my word, you are a true disciple. If you continue to believe in my word, if you continue to read my book, read my word, hear my word, and believe, it's a continuation. It's a process. It's something you're doing daily. It's something that is coming out of you on a regular basis. You know, when with Elizabeth, we'll go for Elizabeth, she's my experience every day. With Elizabeth, got a little 2-year-old girl, she's running around out there making all the noise. She is constantly like, mummy, 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 I need this, I would like this. Mummy, I need food, food, mummy, food time, drink, mummy, food. Mummy, what's this? Mummy, what's that? Mummy, what are they doing? What colour is this? What is it? You know, it's all the questions. But as a mother, I know how she operates. I know how she works. And so half the time I'm like, Elizabeth, would you like a drink? She's like, oh, yes, mummy. Elizabeth, would you like some food? Are you hungry? Oh, yes, mummy. Elizabeth, you know, do you need the toilet? Oh, yes, mummy. Elizabeth, are you tired? Would you like to go to bed? Yes, mummy. You know, I'm anticipating, I'm anticipating her needs, her wants, everything that is coming out of her, yeah? And half of the time, what she is requiring is there before she's asked for it. Just because I know the timings of her day, I know the way she operates. I know her. She's mine.
That's good.
There's a lot of me in her, which is not always positive, but I know her. Yeah? So I'm anticipating what she wants. God knows me. I'm his child. He anticipates what I want. So when it says believe that what you've asked for is already yours, it's already mine because he's given it before I've asked.
Yeah, come on, that's good.
Because he's anticipated my every need. Because although I can have days and be like, oh my word, the world is coming to an end, Jesus, give me this, 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 and this. He's like, Jem, shut up. I know. I'm your father. As you cater and anticipate to every need of that daughter of yours, I'm doing the same. Without you asking. I'm already there. I'm anticipating what you want because I'm listening all of the time. All of the time, yeah? What I've got out of this week with God and the question he posed to me, and I can say with confidence, yeah, I do believe this, is do I believe in a father-child relationship? Do I believe that he is my father and I am his child? And not just do I believe that, do I know that as I run round like a chicken sometimes after my daughter, he is running round after me. And he is doing it in a way, half the time, that I don't even realise. And I don't know. That child has no idea that I pack her bag every morning and make sure I come out with everything I need. Sundays we're here 9 till 9. You know, I have to pack for a full day. She has no idea that mummy's, you know, stayed up last night and packed her lunches and done what she needs and put enough nappies in and whatever else. She has no idea that, you know, in the mornings I'm there and I make her porridge so she has it and it's ready and it cools, you know, I let it cool down so she doesn't hurt herself when she eats it. She doesn't think about that. She's a child. She's just demanding. In a much loving way we do this. But a father-child relationship. I believe that is true faith. I believe that if we can completely surrender ourselves to a father-child relationship and believe in it without a doubt in our heart, that we will have true faith and therefore be true disciples and therefore bear fruit that will last. Amen. Because that is what true disciples do.
Yeah?
To believe and to have father-child relationship, we need to believe that God is everywhere, all of the time, listening continuously, yeah? There was no delays. When you read Jesus' ministry, there was no delays between his words and God's actions. Yeah? Jesus said, heal. They were healed. Jesus said, go. Off they went. There was no delays, yeah? Because he believed in that father-child relationship. Because he was the Son, is the Son of God. And I think what I want to emphasize and what God has emphasized to me this week is, okay, God's up here, and Jesus is obviously direct son. I'm not, like, down here. I'm here. Yeah? I'm directly his child. I'm not, oh, you know, there's billions and billions and billions of people saying, you know, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, he's not like, Jem, take a ticket, wait your turn. You know, I'm not at the cheese counter. That's not how it works. He is constantly hearing me. That's where I was. Constantly hearing, wasn't it, Adrian? I'm back there. And there was one that said that... yes, John 11. Here we go, back to my thought. 41, it says, then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here. He always is listening. In Job, it talks about him being omnipotent. And that was just a flying thought across my head. I was like, I could see the word. I'm not sure how to say it. But he is. Do we believe that?
Yeah.
Do we believe that he is constantly listening? Do we believe that he's anticipating our every need? Because we are a child directly beneath him. We are heirs of Christ. We're not one removed. We're not second cousin. We're not, you know, down the family tree. We're directly underneath. And we're not taking tickets to wait in line. But he is saying, I will respond immediately because I already know your askings. I already know your requirements. You already have received what you are asking for. Yeah. So true faith, believing in a father-child relationship. That's a little dance. Another question. Does this sometimes happen? Place our faith in the wrong place, that makes sense. Do we mistakenly put our faith in a person instead of God? If things aren't going the way we feel they should be, or we're not getting the answers we feel should be coming, and God's doing it in a different way, do we ever sit there and think, well, it's ministry time, I'm going to wait, Pastor Paul's going to pray for me, because the person sitting next to me is not good enough to pray for me? Do we ever put our faith in the wrong thing? Do we look and think, well, the pastor is clearly the big holy anointed one because he's leading a church? Yes, he is, being anointed for that purpose. But equally, we're all heirs of Christ.
Yeah, come on, that's good.
We're all equal to be used by God.
Yeah, come on.
To be graced upon and to be his channel. Yes, there are specific times when a specific anointing is put on someone that they are therefore releasing to people and to the church. That's different, you know. But if we're in need of something, or we just want someone to stand with us and say, look, this is rubbish. Will you just encourage me to pray about this? Because on my own, I find it tough. You know, put my hands up. Sometimes I find it tough to pray for things. And I just let it eat me alive. But to have someone stand next to me and say, come on, Jem, you pray. I'll agree with you. I'm like, yeah, let's go. It's like this whole line comes out and I'm like, yeah. Because someone's saying, I know, it's all right. We're human, we're real. Christian life is hard. It's not always, you know, walking in a field of daisies. And it's okay. But do we sometimes put our faith, do we put it in the wrong thing? Do we place it in the wrong people? Because I tell you what, I think if you do it, it comes with disappointment. If I am waiting specifically just for Pastor Paul to pray for me and then nothing happens, how pants am I going to feel? It could be at that time God is trying to encourage you and say, this person's right next to you. They're eager and willing to pray for you. Let's boost their confidence to show them that I can work through them and give them an experience. Let's boost your confidence to say, hey, look, you have faith. It's your faith. It's not the pastor's faith. It's your faith that is healing you and doing something in your life. And let's take responsibility for our lives and our issues and our needs. And say, actually, it's not between us, the mid and string, it's between you.
Yeah, that's it.
This person, wonderful pastor, is just being obedient. He's just saying, God, this is what you asked me to do, I'll do it. He's not saying, I have the most faith ever in the whole entire world, so therefore everyone must be receiving from me. He's just saying, I'm obedient. I'm a child of God. I'm the same as everyone else, and I'm being obedient.
That's good. That's good.
The healing, the ministry, will come through here.
Yes.
This path. That's where it comes from. I don't know where this is coming from, so someone must need to hear this. It's not this way. Let's not put our faith in our people. Let's put our faith in God. Please do still love and encourage one another, because that's, you know, biblical. Build each other up daily. Greet each other with a holy kiss. You know, it's all biblical. So, just digging a hole, aren't I? So, from that, this is all over the place today. Ephesians 6 talks about faith being a shield you take hold of. You take hold of it.
Yeah.
It's something you do. It's an active thing.
Yes. Amen. It's good.
Something you physically pick up, take hold of, and say, this is my faith. This is something I have, yeah? In 1 Timothy, it talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Fighting the good fight of faith. Faith is an active thing. It's something happening. It's bubbling away all the time. Stuff going on. It's not an ornament on your mantelpiece that says, hi, I'm a Christian. Here's my faith. I dust it occasionally, and this is it. Looks lovely. It's not that at all. It is something active, and it is something that you do not store away in your closet and you only bring out on a Sunday. It's something that you have constantly with you, inside of you, going, yes, I have faith. Yes, I believe. Here's my Father. I believe I am the child, and I believe this relationship works. Have we got that?
Yes.
Something I read the other day. I think it was from Dr. James, actually. I'm trying to think there. And it says, the measure of which you rule and reign inwardly will be the measure of which you rule and reign outwardly. Take hold of your faith. Take hold of your faith. If you can control this, and believe in your relationship, father-child, outwardly, it will be amazingly. Outwardly, you will naturally love upon people. Outwardly, you will naturally make disciples. Outwardly, you will naturally see fruit being born. Thank you. Oh, we're everywhere.
Bad is all right.
I studied sport and psychology. I did not study English. Naturally, these things will happen because you've got it right in here. And because your heart is not doubting, it is believing that you are a child, he is your father. And it is believing that whatever you have already asked for is yours. Get it right in here. Have the sincerity of true faith that says, yeah, I do believe. Yeah. This is what's happening in my life. This is what I'm happy to express and talk about and live. Outwardly, you'll see fruit. Outwardly, you will love. Not through gritted teeth. You will love willingly. Not through, oh, I'm going to stay away from that crowd of people because I'm not sure about that. You will love, regardless of circumstance, regardless of appearance, regardless of smell, regardless of anything. You'll love because you're ruling and reigning inside of you. Which means outside of you will be a field of daisies. It'll be great. It'll be beautiful. You'll see multiplication, which God is doing. Cool. We're fine. We've got loads of time. John 4. Let's go to John 4. We're going to verse 50. Yes, this is right. That's reassuring, isn't it? Let's look at it in the truth. Okay, so this is where Jesus heals the royal official's son, yeah? And it says, when the man comes to Jesus and says, you know, you need to come with me, you need to heal my son. And Jesus says, let's read it in this one first. And he replied, you may go, your son will live. And then it says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He departed. It's good, isn't it? We have a revelation for you here. He departed. In the truth, it says the man believed what Jesus had said and left. He just left. He believed. He did not ask. What struck me when I was reading this was a really random thing. But he didn't stand there and say, well, Jesus, you know, I've just heard that you're here, and so I've rushed to come and see you. So before you say, yeah, he'll go away, maybe you ought to come with me and just double check. He didn't take Jesus back to his son and say, you know, just in case I can't find you again, just come with me. Let's be sure. He didn't ask for proof. He didn't question him and say, well, how can that be so? All you've done is said he'll live. How you know, he didn't do anything. He took him at his word and he left. He departed. True faith. He believed Jesus had already anticipated the need. He came, he asked, it was done. No delay. I kind of wonder whether, you know, I would have been a bit like, well, do you want to just come with me and double check before you run off again to the next village? Do you want to, you know? He didn't. He just said, okay, I'm gone. He didn't ask for reassurance. He didn't ask anything. He was obedient to Jesus, and he left. Jesus said, it will be done. Go home. So he went. If he hadn't have gone and he had questioned, that's how my brain works, would it still have been the same result? I have no idea. He was obedient to Jesus. And his son was healed. It's good, isn't it?
Yes,
it is. I thought so. There you go. I did. Galatians 3, it said, did you receive the Holy Spirit through obeying the religious law or by responding with faith? So did the one who gave you the Spirit and worked miracles among you do so because of your obedience to religious rules and regulations or because you responded with faith? Do you see where I'm going here? It is the faith. It is the response of our faith that God is urging and wanting and willing us to have. It is not a response to, oh, it's Sunday, let's go to church. We need to go to church, it's good, it's biblical. But it's not a response of worship time. Oh, what's everyone doing? What's the pastor doing? Yep, I will do that too. Oh, there we go, I've done my bit. It's not a response of how much I go to church. It's not a response of how many meetings I attend. It's not a response of how many extra church things I serve in. It's not a response of how much I tithe. It's a response of my faith. You know, the woman that had nothing, she gave everything. Wasn't God more pleased with her? Gave her so much more because she gave everything. Yeah? It's not a response of this is what other people are doing or this is what I should do. It's a response of the heart. It's a response of our faith. It's a response of saying, I believe in the father-child relationship. And I will not attain anything unless I trust in that. John 16 says, everything I have, the Spirit will take and reveal to you in your experience. In your experience, he will reveal to you. An experience is an active thing. It's something that goes on. When you have an experience, you are doing something. Simple as that. I like it when Claire sits at the front. I always stare at you when I speak. I'm really sorry. I've noticed this the last several times I've done this. And I always stare at you. It's because you smile at me. That's why I feel it's okay. So I'm not trying to stare at you to say, believe in this. No, I'm just saying. It's because you're so smiley. Oh, dear. Experience. Experiencing God, experiencing life. You know, we've already said faith is an active thing. It's not a nice package. It's not something on your mantelpiece. It's an active thing. Yeah? And we have to be active in that. That's all I've got. We just have to be active in that. It's that simple. You know, in John 8, when Jesus is talking about his relationship with his father, you know, he says that he always acted on what he saw the father do. Because obviously Jesus saw the father, he's the only one that's seen the father. He acted upon that, yeah, because he was seeing it. We act upon what we hear, yeah? What we hear in his presence, what we hear through the word, what we hear, you know, other people are sent along to encourage and build us up. You know, we're acting on what we hear in the presence, in our experience. Glad you're all agreeing with this. This is really great. This is good. I'm just processing in my head. So, let's go for some encouraging scriptures to say, you know, if we do this, that's what I love about the Bible. He says, if you do this, I will give you this. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will have this. You know, if you love one another, if you do this, if you, and I'm like, yes, if I do this, it's so that so much more can happen. If I do this, oh my word, the world is my oyster. Do you know what I mean? If I do this, if more happens, if I do things. So Romans 5. We will get there on a Sunday, I'm sure. Romans 5, 1-2. It says, blessings are made available to us by the means of our faith. By the means of our faith, yeah? Let's read this in here, or in here, even. Yes, here. Through him, we now have peace with God, and all the blessings of his grace are made available to us by means of our faith. We stand daily in the flow of God's free gifts to us, and we can rejoice that a greater revelation of his glory awaits us. This is our sure and certain hope. How amazing is that? By our faith, by our active communication, by our active believing, that this father-child relationship works. Blessings are made available to us. Yes? That we stand, what does it say? We stand daily in the flow of God's free gifts. Daily in the flow of God's free gifts. Because we believe. Because we're living actively in our faith. And we're saying, I believe that he is my father, I am the child. Daily I can stand in this. And daily things can be flowing into me. Free things. You don't have to have to pay. Free things. Whenever I go, or whenever, I don't know. I don't like to pay for things. I like things to be free. So often, it's mainly when we're in need of something, and I mean actually need, not, you know, it's a real necessity, not a just a, I would like this. When we're actually in need, I'm like, God, well, I don't really want to pay for that. we actually have to have this. So I don't want to pay because I can spend my money on much more exciting things. But I know. But sometimes I'm like, God, I don't want to pay for it. And then he gives me free things in the natural too. I quite like that. Dan has a real anointing for that. He's all right. I don't know, he just rambles on to people until they give money off. I don't know whether they're just doing it to say, please be quiet and go away and leave me alone. But he brought me some, I'm going to share a Christmas story. I know Christmas has gone a long while ago. But he thought I should have a hobby. Why are you laughing? That's gone completely overhead. Before Elizabeth, and before I came here, my hobby was riding horses. And then I moved to Scarborough and I didn't get that anymore. And I had a child, so she's now my daytime hobby, if you like. I'm with her all the time. So Dan was like, you should have a hobby. And I was like, okay, sure. And so I was like, I don't really have any. I've just ridden horses all my life. And he was like, right. And so for Christmas, he gave me this bag. And it was full of, not very big balls, but loads of different types of balls of wool and some knitting needles. And he was like, and then he brought me this book. It's the most amazing book ever. It's really cute. I haven't got that far yet. But it's a book about how to knit dinosaurs. And there's really cute dinosaurs in it. It's really great. I'll go to Shona's house one day to have a knitting session. I've done well. I've knitted a blanket for Elizabeth Stoll. And I'm on a bag. She wanted a bag. So I'm learning. It's, you know, quite a process. But I'm getting there. It takes me quite a while. That's the issue. And it's really discouraging when you see you've got a hole in it. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to undo all of that. That's it. So the blanket has a few holes in because otherwise I'm like, it's all my work. That's taken me like hours, and then it goes. So I don't like that part. Anyway, moving on. Yes, he wanted to do this. So he went to a shop in town, actually, and he got chatting to this shopkeeper and was explaining that he saw this book and he wanted to get me some wool and needles and stuff, and it was my new hobby. And this lady was just like, well, I don't have any here, but come back tomorrow. And he came back, and she had packaged up this, like, if you like, cellophane bag or whatever, full of loads of different balls of wool, put knitting needles in it and wrapped it in a bow. And was like, here you go. He didn't pay for it. I'm just like, oh, that's brilliant. That's God. I stand daily in the flow of his free gifts. And in my head, I'm like, God, if there's a genuine need, I don't see why that should just be in the spirit. If there was a genuine, I don't have money and I need to heat my house, I don't have money or transportation, do you know, if there was a genuine need, why should it not be free as well? I know my knitting wasn't a genuine need, but it was a lovely, thanks God, that was really sweet of you, father-child moment. Do you know what I mean? He gives good gifts.
Yes, he does.
And what does he say? If we give gifts, good gifts to our children, how much more will he give us? So why should we not get knitting needles and bags of wool? Why not? Oh, Ron, come on now. Why not, Ron? Why not? Going to write a book now, aren't you? I'll bring them in for you, Ron. I bought some extra ones, so, you know, it's all good. Romans 10. Your faith must come from your heart. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and we are saved. And are saved. I believe this is a really important one. Sincerity of faith is just so important. We can't... There's no fraud in the kingdom. You know, you can't get away with it. You know, if you're not true with yourself and honest with God, where are you going to get? We've already heard, you know, he is everywhere. He hears everything. You know, Jesus thanked the Father for hearing everything so that we would hear that. To encourage us, that he hears everything. We can't get away from that. We can't lie. to God. He already knows what's the point. That encourages me so much. No matter what happens, I'm like, God, you already know, so it really doesn't matter. And I love that. It really puts me at ease. But I'm like, he already knows. So you can't lie. You can't get away with it. You cannot be a fraudulent person. He knows. He knows your heart. He looks at the heart. And he knows the sincerity of your heart. And if it's not sincere in your faith, if you are actually doubting, he knows. I think one thing, this whole father-child relationship, it cannot be something that your head knows. It has to be something your heart knows.
That's good. Yeah, it's really good.
If your head knows it, great for a day. If your heart knows it, it'll be an everlasting foundation.
Brilliant.
It can't be something that's up here. It has to filter down to your heart. It has to be something that you're rooted on. It has to be your foundation, a foundational truth in your life that knows that you're an heir of Christ, that knows that you are not a second cousin removed. It knows that you are directly under him. Yeah? Live by faith in what he has promised, not in what we see happening in the present. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That was just a fun little verse. In Hebrews, it talks about, there's loads of scriptures today, but this just really encouraged me. God just took me on a kind of over the week, look at this one, look at this one. We're talking about faith, look at this one, look at this one. And I was like, whoa, there's loads here. And so this is really a skim of kind of my discussions with God. But obviously I want to bring the scriptures because that's the truth and that's what you guys can feed on and take away, okay? So it's just the scriptures he's been highlighting to me. And in Hebrews 10:19. We all know this one, I hope, because it's a really exciting one. And it says, since we believe in what he has accomplished for us, the shedding of his blood, we have confidence to enter boldly into the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary of his heavenly presence. Since we believe in what he has accomplished. I was like, God, yeah, I really believe that I am now clean and pure and washed. That I can stand before you. If I can believe in the past, why can't I believe in the present or the future? If I didn't believe in the past, trust me, because I really thought about this for a while, I was like, I reckon I'd be at home, locked the door, cowering, crying, a complete mess full of shame and guilt. Would I leave? I think I'd find it tough. But I believe that he has accomplished death on the cross, victory over death and sin, and I'm guilt-free. And I'm shame-free. And I'm cleansed. And I'm sanctified. And I'm set apart. And I'm holy because he is holy. If we can sit here, and you're sitting here, so actually I reckon you all do believe in what he has accomplished for you. Why do some days do we find it hard to believe in the promises he's written for the present or for the future? It all comes in the same way. We believe he's accomplished it because it's written down. And we believe this. So the promises for the future are written down. Why do we find it hard to stand on them? Why do we find it hard to declare them sometimes? Why do we find it hard to believe in them? We shouldn't. We shouldn't at all. If you can believe in the past, oh my, you can believe in the future. Because the past was clearly worse to accomplish over. The future is a breeze. Because his promises were written down. And we can walk in them. For many of us, the past may have been actually coming into Christ, if you like, however old we were. I know many people don't actually here, have had the privilege of being, of growing up in a Christian home and being, you know, sheltered and brought along in it and you know, fed the truth constantly at the dinner table each night. I know many of us haven't had that. So we've actually read this book, heard God's word, and said, yeah, I believe, and made a decision and a choice. Yeah? From, I don't know, when you were however old. So actually, the accomplishment has come from hearing the word. And his promises are already written down. So surely that's easier to believe. I don't know, in my head this will make sense. This is my head though. This is my experience. You can take from it what you want. Please do. I found it quite exciting. So anyway. I believe in what he's done for me and what he's accomplished. I believe that there's no judgment or condemnation on my life anymore. So therefore, I have confidence to enter God's presence. And I have confidence to declare his truth over my life. And I have confidence to stand and say, hang on a minute, your word says this. I want to see it. Where is it? And that's why I'm so stubborn, for those that know me. That's why I'm so stubborn. Because I believe what he has done for me has happened. And I believe in the promises that are to come. Good times. I think we should all be active in our faith, because I'm quite strong in, we hear something, let's apply it. So now we're going to apply. Yay! The enthusiasm is overwhelming. So, I just want to play a song, really, and to give, however long the song is, 2 minutes or whatever, time to respond, time to say, okay, God, I really believe in this father-child relationship. My expectations are now up this high. You know, if you believe in it already, super. You know, be praying for others. You know, if there's anything that has challenged you today, this is your time to actively apply it to your life. Implement something, repent of something, whatever needs to be done. But it's good to have a minute or two just to process and say, okay, God, do what you need to do. So, yeah, Father, I just want to pray. I want to pray as Jesus prayed for us, that Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Father, I pray for a revelation today, an application on our lives today that leads to us so that fruit will be born, so that multiplication will happen, so that we can love upon one another, so that we see your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, so that we submit to you and your will is done.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.